Morning. I will read it from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 from the New International Version. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following his desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's still morning, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow, boy, I tell you, we're going to have a short message today, taking up all my time. All right, but it's all good. I just would like to add a little bit. I knew I was coming up here, so I didn't come up with the other crew. That was quite an experience yesterday. I thought about Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door, and I know I don't really open the door for them. And we're talking about going out here in a community, and thank God we didn't have to knock on any doors. But it goes to show you the kind of God that we serve and who is in control. All we had to do, as the pastor said, is go out there, stand in front of the house, and pray. And guess what happened? God sent the people out to us. We didn't have to go knock on the doors trying to get into them. He sent them out. What a great God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. How great is our God, as the song was saying, how great is our God. And there is none greater than our God. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to talk about salvation today. Do you know what salvation is? What is salvation? Somebody give me an answer. Salvation. Sound like save at the beginning, right? Save from what? Why? What purpose? Salvation. Saving grace. How do we receive that? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about repentance. We're going to talk about baptism if we have time. And we're going to talk about salvation, because that's what leads to salvation. And everyone in here hopes to receive salvation, because it is a saving from the consequences of what?
Amen.
Amen. We got that, huh? All right. Now, I'd just like to thank Damon Hayes, Jr., reading the scripture. Now, this particular passage of scripture, Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And I was blessed enough to be able to go to Ephesus, and I know what Paul was talking about. You see, Ephesus was a very impressive city. Even the ruins today in Ephesus tell you that this was a mighty city. I mean, they're just there. They're impressive. They had inlaid, what, tiles for plumbing and all of that, the tiles that you have inlaid. They had that. They showed it to us. You say, what? And we're talking about 2,000 years ago, the church, the New Testament church. Paul's there. And what I also found out, and perhaps some of you have read it, due to the fact that technology that we have today, we can find out so many things quickly at that just press of a button, that Mary, Christ's mother, lived there with John. When Christ told John, you know, take his mother, that's where he took her. They stayed there in Jerusalem for a while, but they lived mainly in Ephesus. Mary's house, they showed us Mary's house where they lived. And Paul, as we know, my apostle Paul, he was there. And Timothy, all of those. But this is salvation going to the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, believe it or not. And salvation was open to the Gentiles through whom? Jesus Christ. And the Jews did not particularly care for that because they placed themselves above everybody else. And I was listening to, this guy, I can't think of his name right now, but he is Jewish. And he was telling about what happened to him in the Jewish religion. Now, I need to say this because of salvation, because it has something to deal with it. What he said was, he asked the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi," he says, "do we go to heaven or we go to hell?" He says, we go to heaven. That hell is for those other people. That's where they go. We have an inside track with God. We go to heaven and they go to hell. And so he said he didn't worry about that. Excuse me. So he didn't worry about that anymore. So here's the thing. Where do you think you come in? Heaven or hell? What is salvation all about? How do we receive it? I'm going to go through Ephesians. Ephesians 2:1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." Anybody in here ever followed the ways of the world? Anybody in here is still following some of the ways of this world? Yeah, how about that? Yes, we follow the ways of this world. "And the rulers of" what? "Rulers of the kingdom of the air." Now, who would that be? Right. "The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Do we have any disobedient around in society today? "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature." Yes, did we gratify ourselves in some way? Because in doing things that we know we should not have done. But at the time, hey, it felt good. And I enjoyed it. Yes, I think we did. I'm not alone in that, right? Well, hey, you know what the scriptures say. Excuse me. We all have sinned, right? Every last one of us. All of us have sinned. "As for us living among them with one," let's see, "gratifying craving of the sinful lust. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy," is God rich in mercy? But what do you really deserve for your sins? Death. "God is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgression, it is by," now get this, because there's certain things I really want you to focus on, it is by grace you have been saved. Are you saved? Excuse me. I don't know what happened here. Maybe I need some water. Anyway, it's by grace that you have been saved. "And God raised us up with Christ." Now, and when I read that, "God raised us up with Christ," have you been raised up? Were you in a tomb anywhere? You raised us up? Well, you were as good as what? No kidding. You were as good as dead. "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms." Have you ever been seated in heavenly realms? Yeah. He raised us up and seated us in heavenly realm? How is this possible? How is this possible? "So God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." In him. And we in him, we have what? A life, a breath, a being. We have everything. It is through him that we are here. Amen. And it is through him that we will live with him for all eternity. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is, again, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is from God. It is his gift to you that you will live with him for all eternity. Amen. That's what is there for you. Oh, now, Pastor was talking about in the scripture there is this rich man came to Christ about what must he do to be saved. And he had all kinds of money and everything. And at that point, well, he told him, what he needed to do. But he refused to do that because he had great wealth. And to make a long story short, since I'm short on time, he said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is. Now, let me tell you something. If I could tell you, how to win $1 million. Would you be interested? Come on now. Oh, look at hands. Would you be interested? Well, if I could tell you how you could acquire much more than that, would you be interested? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's what I'm going to tell you about salvation. All the money in the world, and you just may not make it into the kingdom of God. Remember what it says. It's hard for a rich man to enter. Didn't say it was impossible. Get that. It's hard for him to do that. So, any event, what I'm going to tell you about is something worth more than diamonds, rubies, silver, or gold. What's your life worth to you? What is it worth to you? It's priceless. Especially eternal life. And who owns all the gold and the silver and all of those things that you think about? Yes, who owns that? God himself owns it. And he has it for who? He has it for us. He has it for us. I think about what man, he looks out into the universe and he says, the universe is expanding, it's continuing to expand. Is it? Think about it. Is it expanding? Or they just can't see far enough? Is it expanding? Well, look at it. They keep looking and they keep looking and they invent another telescope and they see a little bit further and they see this is it. Is it expanding? Did God create it and say it's finished? I don't know. We only know in part, but God is going to explain it all to us when we are able to hold it, you know. Because he says, right now, I have more I could tell you, but you can't handle it now. Like I said, you can't handle it right now. Please excuse me. That's what we have. See, I was ready. Now I got going through all this stuff because it took up all that time. And now I got to try to get something else going. I wasn't coughing at all sitting back there. Not one time. Boy. But in any event, that's the way it goes. Repentance and salvation. Why are we here? We are here because God loves us. God cares for us. God desires to have us with him at his right hand. God is a great and awesome God. Now, how do we receive what money can't buy? How do we see? What is the first step? What did we read? Repentance. Repentance, baptism, salvation is by grace of God. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Can't buy it in any shape or form, in any stretch of the imagination. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Over 2,000 years ago, Christ said that. Why is repentance paramount for salvation? The English word, now I want you to see this. The English word, repentance. The English word, repentance, actually comes from a Greek word called matanania. Matanania. Pardon my Greek, but that's the best I can do with it. Matanania, which means a change of mind. A change of mind, a change of attitude. That's what we all need, a change of mind. Why do we need a change of mind? Look at the things that are going on around us. What is man doing? Every weekend we hear about so many people being killed in Chicago. A change of mind. What is this hatred and violence? And where does it come from? Why? Why does it have to happen? We do know, if you know your scripture, that we are living in the last days. Perilous times are at hand. And Satan has come down with what? Great wrath. And he is causing all kinds of trouble because he knows that he has but a short time. Philippians 2:5. Now, some of these scriptures are not going to be there. Philippians 2:5. I just want to say this concerning that. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, because we just spoke of a change of mind. And so we need a change of mind. And so let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. And that is the way we have to grow spiritually with the Holy Spirit within us. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In the theological and ethical sense, a foundational and thorough change in the heart of men from sin and toward God, although faith alone is, now listen, faith alone is the condition for salvation. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. So you must have faith. Repentance is bound up with faith and is inseparable from that. We understand that. I want you to get this because, hey, your life is at stake, everlasting life here. And how is it required? You can't earn it. We know it's a gift of God, but what do you have to do in order? What does he expect you to do, I should say? A change of attitude, a change of mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So that is one of the keys. Now we'll move to another one about faith. Without faith, what? Without faith, it's impossible. Because why? Are you going to do anything if you don't believe it? Hey, I don't believe it. I ain't going to do it. Do I believe Jesus Christ lived, died, rose from the dead? Do I believe that? That is paramount for salvation. That? Now why did he do all of that? So that we might live. Repentance shows a genuine sorrow toward God. You realize that? A genuine sorrow towards God. Self-surrender to the will. Self-surrender to the will and service of God. God has so much for us. He loves us so, and he has so much for us. And I just thank him and praise him and praise him with my whole heart. Now, Luke 15:8. Or suppose a woman has 10 coins and lose one. Now, God doesn't want to lose any one. We talked about the lost sheep. Now, here's another illustration, but it's going to show you how important you are to God and how God looks at a person who repents. Luke 15:8. Or suppose a woman has 10 coins and lose one. Do not she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Oh, well, you better bet she does. Especially if it's a gold coin, she's going to look for it. And that's what usually they were back in those days. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, now I want you to get the end of this. In the same way as Christ is saying this, if you went on Bibles, it's in red. It's words of our Savior Jesus Christ. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's in heaven. Repent, people. There is rejoicing in heaven over one. God doesn't want to lose one. And that's what his words say. He wants all to receive salvation. Everyone. To be saved, non-loss. And all you have to do is let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And he tells you exactly how you have it. That you have the book, the Word of God. What do you think he gave it to you for? For you just to look at it, put it on the shelf and say, "I have it," but you never read it. You never get into it. And I have this little old saying, and I hope I coined it. I coined it for myself anyway. The Holy Spirit, remember what Christ said? The Holy Spirit will bring to mind the things of God. How is it going to bring it to mind if it's not in there? Then you have to get into the Word of God, that the Word of God may get into you, and the Spirit of God will bring it to mind when the time is right or when he wants it to. That's it. We have the instruction. What are you going to say when God comes and asks you, you know, like the man in the scripture there where he gave the talents? I think it was 1 5 and 1 3 and 1 1. And he's going to come back and he's going to ask you to give an accounting of what you have done with my money. What you have done with my money that I gave you. One with 5, he gained 10. One with 3, well, 6 or whatever he was. And the one with 1, well, you know what? I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to give it back to him. What he had, give me. I'm going to keep this thing. At least I won't throw it away. I won't lose it. That's what I'm going to do. And when the good man came back and asked him, you know the story. And he came out and said, "Well, here's your money." He said, "Why, you," I would say it's kind of like my mother, "you worthless servant, you. Why didn't you put it in a bank so it would earn some interest so I could at least get something from it?" And what happened to him? You know, brothers and sisters, it could happen to us. What do you think this is telling you? Let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. And what has God done? He has given you his word, and he has enabled you through all the various technologies that we have now. He has enabled you to get into his word, understand his plan and purpose, and be with him for all eternity, seated at his right hand. We serve a wonderful God. There is none greater than our God. Amen? I'm telling you. Well, let's see if I can move on here. You have to make me cut through my papers now to get to where I should be. Cut too much. Okay, all right then. Repentance, baptism. Okay. How great is our God? Now, I love that song we sang. How great is our God? There is none greater than our God. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let me see. His word, repentance, getting by his hand. Yeah, okay. Matthew, this is where I am. Matthew 3, Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, here we are. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. After Christ, God talked to them. I'm going to, let's see here. to this particular passage of Scripture because I want you to pay a particular attention to this part. In our repentance, now we come to what? We come to baptism. Now, who is Christ? Christ was what? Son of God. But now notice what happens here. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "Hey, cousin." You know he was his cousin, right? He said, "Look, cuz, I need you to baptize me. Why are you coming to me for me to baptize you, huh, cuz?" But you notice what his cousin told him. Cousin was with him. He says, "Oh, let it be so now, John. It is proper for us." See, this is my cousin. "It's proper for us to do this." Why? It's proper for us to do this. "To fulfill all righteousness." Then John said, "Okay, bro. Okay, cuz, rather. Okay." And so he did it. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened. Can you imagine? Heaven opened. Did heaven open when you got baptized? Well, now remember the angels. How could they see if they didn't? Angels, they shout for joy at your baptism. Hey, acceptance of God and repentance. See, they're the little things that God has there that you see. And so, at that moment, heaven opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What about you and me? What about it? Is he well pleased with us? Now, you know, that repentance and baptism. Now, once saved, always saved. Oh, is there some work to do? What about spiritual growth and maturity? What do you have to do? Okay. "This is my Son in whom I am and whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Why? Now you'll answer this question for me, please. I know if you're really hearing and you're really receiving. Why did Christ get baptized? Somebody tell me. Why did Christ get baptized? For what? For an example. Was that all? I knew that was coming. For an example. That's true. But what else? To do what? To receive the Holy Spirit. He's God. That he already has the Holy Spirit. He doesn't. He is God. What? Yeah, he's the Son of Man too, but he's still.
So he had to do that so we could follow
it. So we could follow it. That's partially true. That's partially. Did Christ ever commit any sin?
No.
He was perfect. So why did he get baptized? Then we're talking about spiritual growth and development and maturity. As Paul says, my apostle Paul, you know, when we are babes, we feed and wonder what? Milk of the word, the mothers know. But when you grow up, you're going to come on and get what? We get some of that bread and meat, girl. That bread and meat is good. And it's just going to help you grow strong. Now, you got to grow strong by getting into the word of God and let it build you up. The Holy Spirit, yeah. But Christ did not need to be baptized. But he did it for an example. It's partially true. Why did Christ get baptized? He did not make a confession. When you get baptized, have you repented of your sins? Have you? John didn't have to ask him that. But we're asked that. And we're supposed to repent because we are in the world of the world. But he didn't make any confession. He didn't need to repent. He had committed no sin whatsoever. None whatsoever. Why did he get baptized? I tell you. Why did he get baptized? Who is he? All right. Now we're getting there. We're getting thought there. He is God. Fulfilling all righteousness unto salvation for the church. That was one reason. Fulfilling all righteousness for salvation for the church. His baptismal was an act of ceremonial righteousness. He's already a ceremony. So we know and we understand. His baptism was an act of ceremonial righteousness, which included this threefold office. What are the threefold office? Okay, threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. To do that, but he's a prophet, the priest, and king, and also for salvation unto the church. That's why he got baptized. For you know he had no sin. He had nothing to repent of. Why should he get baptized? We can just sum it up and say, well, and some would say, oh, for an example to show us. But he didn't need it. He's God Almighty. No repentance, baptisms of salvation. Christ admonishes us to love one another as he loves the church, and he did what? Gave himself for it. And that's what we are to do. Have love one for another. As the commandment said, love God and love one another. Can we do that? This is required for salvation. How are you going to receive salvation, which is a gift of God, if you cannot take care of the preliminary things? God loves you. He wants you to be with him for all eternity. And so, fulfilling all righteousness unto salvation for the church is one of the reasons why he was baptized. And that's showing, in other words, it's showing his love. God admonishes us, as I've said, to love one another. In our society in which we live, violence, hatred continues to reign supreme. But here's a man who, we'll say, committed a crime. Somebody remember Rodney King? Yes. And what, the things that he did, but what was some of the, one of the famous lines of his?
Can we all just get along?
Can we all get along? Which means, can we love one another? Another interpretation. And everybody and people know that. Though he did what he did, yet at the same time, he put that phrase out there. Why can't we just all get along? Why can't we just all get along? Instead of tearing each other down. Christian salvation. So I have to come to an end here before my pastor get on my case. But the point is, as far as salvation is concerned, salvation is a saving from the consequences of sin, as you have heard many times. Salvation is to be with God for all eternity at his right hand. God has special places for each and every one of his children. And what Christ says in his word is that where I am, you may be also. And we continue to hear, are we going to heaven? You know what? Heaven on earth. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Amen. And that's what I want to tell you. Where he is, I want to be. And where if he's not, I don't want to be. And so I can be with him for all eternity, and I can love him, I can embrace him, and he'll do the same for each and every one of us because we are all his children. Children of God. How did that sound? I am a child of the living God. I am. Yes, I am. And so are you. Child of the living God. Christian salvation is conditioned upon repentance and what? Faith. What? Condition of repentance and faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Now, come on. Give me the scripture for that. Come on now. Where'd you got the book? Jesus so loved the, God so loved the world. There it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whosoever is that believe in him should not perish, but everybody that believes in him should have eternal life. And where are you going to be with that eternal life? You will be with him for all eternity. What is all eternity? Oh, don't even go there, all eternity. Where is all eternity? God is good. Amen. God is good. And I just want to give you thanks and brothers and sisters to keep up the good work. God loves you. God died for you. He paid the penalty for your sins. We caused him to die. But he loved us so much that he even pointed to the fact that greater love has no man than this, than he does what? He laid down his life for what? His friends. When you think of all of these different things, we are the friends of God. How does that grab you? I am a friend of God. Yes. We are friends of God. We are children of God. And he died for us. And so, brothers and sisters, I tell you, we have come a long way, but we still have a little further to go. And my admonition to you is this. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's been too great a sacrifice made for each and every one of us. And we have, a joy. This would be a joy to be with God for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord God Almighty, we praise your holy name and thank you, Father, for your blessings. It is good, Heavenly Father, it is good to give honor and glory and praise unto the Lord God Almighty. You, Heavenly Father, who laid down your life for us that we should not die, perish, but that we should live and live for all eternity with you. Father, thank you for each and every individual here. Those who are unable to be with us today, we praise you and thank you, Father, and pray that you will be with them to guide them, Father. Restore those in health who may have health issues. Father, thank you so much. Bless your other sheep who are in different folds. Great God Almighty, you're with them. And Father, thank you again for this day and every day. And we give you the honor and glory and praise and ask your blessings, God, Almighty God, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.